Welcome to the Consultants Council podcast, a place for consulting industry guidance and best practice advisory. Whether you're working to grow in your consulting career, you're managing and developing a consulting firm, you're working with consultants, or you're just interested in business and high performance advice, we've got recommendations and education for you. I'm Kelsey Krevling, founder and CEO of Kelsey Consulting, a firm focused on building high-performing organizations, teams, and individuals through a variety of ventures, including the Consultants Council. I've spent my career at the intersection of technology and management consulting, working with organizations across the country to help solve their toughest challenges, while also supporting the growth and development of multiple consulting firms, helping them improve their long-term performance trajectory. In addition, I'm an entrepreneur across a few different industries, and I serve as a startup investor and advisor, promoting the ideas of other entrepreneurs as they work to gain traction in their industries. With so many people gearing up to launch their own businesses and establish their own consulting practices, I want to make available the advice and lessons I've learned along the way. This podcast is made possible by Kelsey Consulting. For more information, check out our site at theconsultantscouncil.com and kelsey.consulting. That's KELSC.consulting. And now, stay tuned for this episode's counseling, because the consulting world is full of nuances. And the answer is always, it depends. What's possible? Do more. Hey y'all, I'm Kelsey Krevling with the Consultants Council podcast, and today's episode is a great one for any consultants who are looking for freedom and flexibility within their careers and their finances. Joining me is Brian Harriott, founder of the Choosy Consultant and Harriott Consulting Group. He's got a background in healthcare consulting, but he also helps consultants achieve financial freedom over their futures. So stay tuned for an exciting episode where Brian takes us through his career path and how he works with consultants who are seeking those same freedoms. All right, welcome to the Consultants Council podcast. I'm Kelsey Krevling, and I am very excited to be joined today with Brian Harriott. He is not only a career consultant, he spent a lot of time in the healthcare industry, where our paths, as we were chatting right before this, actually have gotten to meet previously. So it's really fun to have him joining today. He's going to take us through both his path in consulting and also how he works with and helps others. So Brian, thanks for joining.
Thank you. I'm really glad to be here with you.
Awesome. So Brian, you're an entrepreneur. You've got your own consulting agency and your own brand. How did you get to that point?
Sure. So I started right out of school in 97 with Anderson Consulting. So I'm a consultant through and through, except for 5 years that I spent at UCSF, although there I managed a project like a consultant would. So I've been consultant from the beginning. I did the typical staff consulting work at Anderson Consulting and then Accenture. And then my second stint in consulting was with a medium-sized firm here on the West Coast called Point B Consulting, which was an incredible, that was a perfect job for me, because it's like your second job, and it's when you start to realize how important culture is and all of the other things that go along with not just working. And at least at the time, Point B was a wonderful place. It had local consulting. It had owners, founders, and those that led the organization that were very reachable, even for a 700-900 person firm. It was pretty incredible. I learned a lot from that. I was the third employee in their San Francisco practice, so I had a firsthand experience of entrepreneurship and growing consulting practice, which was great. I then took a stint at UCSF because I had previously consulted there with Point B, and did a really, really cool project, which was opening UCSF's Mission Bay campus, so a brand new hospital, 273 bed, I think is the number. Everything from, planning the operations at that facility to transitioning patients and coordinating 75 ambulances taking children from the old hospital to the new hospital. It was an exhilarating experience. At that point, though, then there was no place for me there. And that kind of triggers everything else that's happened in my life. All the wonderful things, kind of start from what isn't always then great. But that is at that point that I started my own independent consulting practice. And I just consulted as an independent consultant for about 3 years. I did most of my work at Kaiser Permanente, which is another health plan out here in California. And then have, very, very slowly, very carefully added two extremely wonderful additional consultants. So we are a team of three, and it's some of the best, smartest, hardest working people that I know. And I would never sacrifice 10 okay people for these three awesome people that we have working together. And it was then, after a good 7 years, that's really kind of propelled me into the time freedom, lifestyle freedom, financial freedom space, such that I was able to take last summer off completely and spend a month in Portugal and then 2 months at our cabin in Wisconsin, water skiing and fishing and all those fun things. But it was at that time that I had a bunch of revelations about what it means to be financially free and how you still have this inkling to want to do something productive and get back to work. But I wanted to do it kind of on my terms and to be the most as impactful as possible. And I realized that I had backed into this pretty cool life that I created for myself of summers off and then really interesting work on the off season. And I wanted to teach more people about how to do it. So I started up Choosy Consulting in the fall of last year. And I've been working with independent consultants or people that are interested in consulting or coaching as an entrepreneurial endeavor that they can then leverage in addition to all of the, especially if they're mid-career, some of the money they've saved up already. And how do you put those puzzle pieces together to create this pretty unconventional but very rewarding life. So there's a whole summary that I don't know which way you want to go from there, but that's me in a nutshell.
That's amazing. So first of all, congratulations. It's a big step to take that leap to going out on your own. And it's an even bigger one to take the leap of bringing on other people to work with you. What was the impetus in your decision making to say it's now time to add additional talent? Because it's a lot to become an employer and work with others in that capacity.
Yeah, I've had an evolution in my thinking about a lot of things over the years, and this is a good example of that. So when I, worked at Accenture, I was like, here's where you start, here's where you end, get there straight and work hard and do it. And when I then moved to point B and kind of got into the inner workings of some other clients, I realized that sometimes you need to wander around a little bit, but ultimately you'll end up where you want to be or perhaps even further. That's actually what happened with hiring the employees at Harriet Business Consulting. I was not actively looking for anyone. I was just being helpful, connecting dots, and somehow, stumbled upon Karen, who I worked with literally 20 years prior when we were at Accenture together up in Washington State. And I just remembered how incredible she was. And it just so happened that there was an extra opportunity at Kaiser and I brought her on. So it was, I call it opportunistic wandering as my approach, instead of just, heads down, make it happen, straight line progress. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's been kind of an interesting way to live and kind of open up my viewpoint and
certainly
when you kind of see where you have the chance to make bigger steps forward by pausing and taking a break.
Is there anything in your life that really gave you that opportunity for inflection and reflection?
Very good question. So it's been definitely gradual. I think the first time I saw opportunity like that and jumped on it was, I know you have some startups that you work on. When I was working at UCSF, there was an opportunity to create a technology product for them. And I actually was able to connect dots with some people that I had stayed in touch with from college, and we were able to make that happen. And that's, you know, the need that UCSF had, you know, combined with my friend's capabilities, I was able to put them in touch. And then after I left UCSF, I was able to buy into the company. And it was, again, like, just fortuitous. Like, who knows? Like, if, you know, so many things have to happen in life, you can only connect the dots looking backwards. You can't really connect them looking forward. So you just have to go with, you know, go with the flow a little bit and trust, especially if you're a control freak, it's hard, but you just have to do it sometimes.
Thank you for that. No, it's, I ask because as consultants, like you said, we're definitely a special breed of human. We oftentimes like to be in control, very perfectionism oriented. And also if we're used to that traditional track, that managing director, that partner track of, okay, this is what I have to do. And I know if I do this and execute well, I will move along the track effectively to get to the destination that I think I'm supposed to end up at. But as you're illustrating, that might not be the best destination for you. So how do you help some of your clients then kind of pick their head up and look around and say, maybe it's time to look towards a different future?
It is difficult. And just a quick aside on my personal story. So I went from, you know, that really incredible experience at UCSF of, you know, moving the children, you know, into the new hospital. And it actually, after that, there was just no landing place for me. I hadn't done a very good job of working my internal kind of corporate politics process. And I was almost left pretty vulnerable, such that 1 year later, I was no longer a director. I was promoted down to a manager level, and I lost about 25% of my salary. And it was the first time when I didn't see the gradual progression up, and it was my first drop, and it was not easy. And so to your question about how can you help your clients, I am usually working with somebody who's in a transitionary time period, right? And so it's hard when you're in it to break free from it. It still took me another year to do anything about that, you know, situation. And so the best that I can offer is really just, I mean, I'm definitely focused on the financial pieces, right, of the puzzle. And so if you can break that down and show, you know, hey, if we do this with your money and this is all you need to make, and we project that out, you're going to be okay, such that you can make a shift. And, you know, this is all you need to make in year one of your business, year two, year three. Look, it's actually quite possible. That helps. But there's still a lot of mindset and emotion involved. Mm-hmm. So that's like just one step. And I wish it didn't have to be this way, but something has to happen. Somebody has to get that demotion, or has to get laid off, or has to have some like sort of major, you know, life punch to the gut to kind of get you moving out of there. And then people are all of a sudden ready, you know? So again, I don't know if I'm giving you a really good answer. It's just like what I've noticed in reality. It's hard, and I, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. It kind of is just what it is. But if, you know, if you've put the plan together, at least you know that you can step off into your new direction and be okay.
Yeah. Well, and change is hard. And oftentimes we become very entrenched in what it is that we're doing. And we don't take that opportunity to pause and say, is this the right path for me? Am I happy? Am I fulfilled? Am I confident? Am I making a difference? Am I feeling valued? I mean, those are really foundational components that are important for where we're headed and where we're, how we're making a difference in the world. So I love the ability to help people, especially if they're going through some form of hardship or challenge, because oftentimes that is what gives us the motivation to have to make a change, that you're able to then help coach them into, okay, what is that change going to look like? And what can you move towards?
Go ahead. I was going to say the best thing that I've found from the kind of the emotional mental piece is to force like a 2-week plus vacation right? To just get out of the situation. Ideally, don't really plan it too much. Allow yourself to physically wander so you can mentally wander, and bring someone along that you love, but who will also kind of give it to you straight. And the reason why you want to have that person there is you want to find out for yourself what it is you're working on when you're at your best, or when you're pursuing something that feels bigger than yourself. And then that then, if you can like set that out there as like the goal of where you're going, now at least you have a new point, you know? And so it's not as though you're kind of escaping from some bad situation, which you are. You always want to be moving towards something. And so if you've kind of taken the time to get, you know, get free of the awfulness and think about where you want to go next, then at least you have a point to move toward. Then we can start talking about, you know, like, what do you have to do financially? What do you have to do to get control of your time? You know, how do you get the freedom back? But at least you know where you're going.
Yep. No, I think that's so important to really design that ideal day, to design what do you enjoy, what inspires you, what motivates you. And I love what you said about bringing someone along who can help you kind of get out of your own head and see yourself a bit more clearly, because it's very easy to get in that mental rut and be only thinking about the negative side and the future that you can't even forecast because you're in that negative headspace. Whereas having somebody who can be probably biased because they're biased towards you, but they're also able to see the good that you're capable of, that's powerful. That's awesome. Any fun success stories from clients that you've worked with and how they're seeing results?
I think some of the, what I've also realized too, is that sometimes people just haven't really thought that far ahead. And so there's just like this, so, you know, I'm thinking in two particular cases. The first thing that's been the big aha was, well, I didn't really, you know, I'm 42, 43. That's usually like where people are. I'm at this age, and I guess I just assumed that I would need to work, you know, for a long time before I could retire. I had never even like tried to put a plan together. And then when you actually put the numbers down, people get excited because, you know, they've been successful. They're smart. But sometimes you're staring down another 20 years, especially at this, in this 40s area, you know, it can be difficult. And then when you see that there's a possible different way to go, a different path, it's very exciting. And then the second thing is, when you take all the pieces of the puzzle and you lay them out and next to each other, like how much you've saved up in retirement, how much you've saved up in taxable accounts, do you have any rental real estate? What do you, how much equity do you have in your home? Do you have a business? Do you have a couple employees? Is there an inheritance in the future? Like that's what I always missed when I worked with financial advisors personally, is they only had such a narrow view. So if you can really do like a full 360 degree plan that pulls in everything from your work to your savings to real estate, then you can start to play with the numbers and see where the real keys are. And so, you know, one client, for example, was planning to, you know, retire from Oregon to Washington because they knew that there's no state tax there. I think that's what that situation was. And they were just going to upgrade their house. But then they realized, wait a second, why would we go bigger on our house when we just assume that, when we don't even, we love traveling and scuba diving and all these other wonderful things. So why don't we go smaller, you know? And, you know, you start to kind of really, you don't have to try, like I always say, don't ever like do some big crazy thing when you're thinking of making a change. Test it out first, prototype it. But even better than that is plan it out and see if it even makes sense, right? And so once they did that, they kind of like flipped what their plans were on their head. And it just felt good for me because, you know, just in that, just by doing that, you know, you can really help people almost like claw back 5 or 10 years of their life, you know, and get to doing what they want to do better.
Right. Well, and also if they're doing more of what they enjoy and like doing right now, it's no longer something in the future that they're trying to work towards, but rather making the everyday much more exciting, engaging, rewarding, which then just naturally helps extend our life expectancy on its own because we're happier.
Yeah, traditional retirement, you're just, you know, working to the bone to retire so much later. So you're kind of deferring life. And then even like the true, like hardcore FIRE people, the financial independence retire early group, who will, they want to retire early and stop working, but there's a lot of sacrifice that they also have to make because they're spending such a small amount of money. So like my happy middle ground is, you know, figure out what you value, live life, spend it on that, but then be super smart about what else you're doing. And sometimes it's doing things that are not what you're traditionally taught. Like I was taught coming out of school, put your money in your 401k, but then all of a sudden all that money you can't access till 59 and a half. Well, uh-oh, you know, like what if I want to actually do something different at 43? So to think that in some cases I would recommend to people, stop funding your 401k. I never would believe that I would have ever said that even like 3-4 years ago, but it can be true, you know, and it can be really helpful if this is a desire that people have. And I think they should have it. It's just that it's not so common and people think it's not possible for them. And that's the best part of the job is like showing mathematically when you lay it out in the calculator that no, you could do this. You can do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting you say that, because I think we are so ingrained to think that don't ever touch your 401k. That is for your future. You have to max it out. You have to use it. But actually in my own personal life, some of the best investments I've made have been because I've tapped my 401 in order to purchase a home that then just exponentially increased in value, right? Like, or a piece of property. So sometimes those historical mindsets are based on that same very clear future that you allocated at first of this is the track that you're on, this is what you will do. And if you stay in that track, then this is the types of saving and spending you need to plan for. But if you're choosing to be a little bit more novel in your approach, then you might have a different way to go about that. So that's very neat. Help them see the world differently, see their future differently, and navigate towards a path that they're excited about.
Go ahead. No, please.
I was going to ask, so how did you come up with the name Choosy Consultant?
Oh, my son came up with it. He's 12. We were just talking. We were at our cabin last summer and we were talking about like what's so awesome about the type of consulting that I do. And I was thinking like the actual work, but he was like, well, he seems like you can kind of just choose when you want to work or not. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. And so that's ultimately how that came about. And then the URL existed. So that was
that helps a lot as well. Yeah, but it's interesting that you paint that picture because your son is exactly right. The ability to have that autonomy and that freedom to pursue the work that is engaging, that matches your skill set, is a gift, but it also then means you're aligning better for the clients you're working with. I mean, given your history, I'm sure you've seen time and again when consultants are not well aligned necessarily for the projects that they're working on. And that just creates such friction that is tough to resolve. And it's painful on both sides.
Yeah. And when, you know, the burnout is such a real issue, you know, you see study after study about that. And when you come back from a month, 2 months, 3 months off, you are rejuvenated, you are well rested, and you're ready to get going. And that makes your work look even better, you know. And so, and then, you know, and also there's a bit of like, well, I don't, you know, I'm not going to take a project right now. Now there's also scarcity. And they're like, well, can I pay you more? You know, so that like there's, you do better work, you know, it's paid better, you know, there's really positive things that kind of come along with being a little more select in like the work that you're able to do.
Sure. Okay. So I know you've got a new book coming out next year. Would you like to share and tell us about what is going to be in it?
Yes, absolutely. I would love to, because one of the challenges I've noticed in coaching is I can only coach so many people. I typically work with someone for a couple of weeks and I only do one person at a time. And if I don't work in the summer, now we're talking like about, you know, maybe up to 20 people a year. And I'm so passionate about these ideas and whatnot. And I wanted to expand my reach. And so I did some research, which I always do, and found a really good way to write a really good book. And it takes a while. See, that's the thing. So I've learned that, sure, you can pump a book out in 3 months and, you know, self-publish it and whatnot, you know, all that. But what you really want to do is for your book to make an impact is, it sounds, it's pretty easy. You want it to be a really good book. And so to write a really good book, you need to have really good ideas and you need to write it really well, have it well edited. And so I'm working with a writing coach and I have a literary agent. And so I'm investing the time to make this extremely good, you know, and also have trade press, which means, because people don't understand that necessarily, I didn't initially either, is you want the publisher to have their sales team push it out into Barnes and Noble. Like right. There's lead time on that, and that's okay. So so it's like an 18-month process, but at the end of it, it's going to be really, really good. And it's essentially going to be the book version, a guide of what my 2-week consulting process.
Oh, excellent.
Is. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, nothing hidden. It's just that I need to make sure that it's presented in such a way that somebody could do it in book form, you know, and, you know, with the worksheets and the calculators and things like that, because I won't be there. And so there's a lot of testing. So I'm going through all of that process right now, but it, you know, it's everything from, you know, my time freedom framework, which is changing up the placement of kind of your time freedom to move it earlier and work it with your financial freedom, to the time freedom equation, which is, you know, what you want to solve for in a year is not necessarily how much money can you save. It's how can you balance the equation of, you know, what does it cost to live on one side of the equal sign, and what can your investments give you, plus what you can work enjoyably, right? If you can make that work in a year and then you put it in the calculator and show that it works, you know, out 20, 30, 40 years, then you're going to be set. And then, you know, how to take appropriate action and things like that. So there, I intend to show some kind of different perspectives on a way of thinking about, you know, managing a traditional career. Being a consultant is a great way to do it, because an independent consultant, especially, or coach, or any sort of kind of small service-based business where you can really align how you work with what you value to find that time freedom, and also still make really good money so that you can enjoy and spend money on the things that are important to you in your life, and you don't have to sacrifice. So obviously I'm quite excited about it. And I'm going to be also starting up on the speaking tour too, because that's something that I've done long ago in my life and were some of my best memories from high school and college. So I'm going to be doing that again as well.
Oh, neat. Oh, that'll be excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm excited for you. The process of going through, pulling your thoughts out of your brain and putting them into paper is an arduous one. At least that's been my experience. Is it's easy to conceptualize things and know what you want to articulate and even work with people in a one-on-one capacity to do it, but then to now pull it into book form and have it out there and have it represent you well and be something you're proud of, that's a huge undertaking. So congratulations. I'm excited for you.
Thanks. And I'm so passionate for it, because I think early, you know, you start your career and you work for your company, then you start working for yourself, but that's pretty selfish in a way. I think the next stage is working for others. Right. And so I just want to expand the amount of people that can get help from some of these ideas. And if I can present it well and interestingly, and then, I mean, it's a high bar that I'm setting for myself, but I think I can get there. It just, you know, I just have to be patient with it.
Patience is a very important skill that is tough to cultivate over time.
Yes.
Because we're not naturally patient, right?
Yeah.
I love that you're able to do that and to pursue it. And you're exactly right. The desire to be able to help and make a difference is a powerful one. One that I think a lot of people come up with. We're all gifted with different talents and skills, and how are we individually called to be able to share those with others is a unique thing to each of us. So being able to figure that out and pursue it is really exciting. I don't know about you, but I've always felt early on in my career, I would have all these ideas. I'd have all these thoughts about how to improve different things, to improve the industry, to make a difference. And I would kind of almost have just a ongoing monologue in my head, opportunities, things that I wanted to share. And it would just be exhausting because it'd be an inner monologue constantly going. And once I started actually getting that out into the world on pen to paper, creating what I thought needed to happen, ideas that needed to happen, it actually opened up so much more room in my brain to be able to now create other things. Have you started to see that as you've pursued your different ventures, that you now have more room for other things to come in and flow?
Yeah, I love the idea of kind of turning from being a consumer of information to creator of it. It's more rewarding. And I've only been really doing this like for the last couple of years. But what I've come across is, you know, like you just need a really good notes app. I use UpNote, I think it's called, but there's so many of them. But like, because I've noticed that the ideas come at the weirdest times. It's usually when you're on your elliptical or when you're driving and you need to make yourself a voice memo. But then once you get that down, you can start to put them together, and it comes up with, you know, and I don't know if it's the engineer in me or the whatever it is, but like when you find that framework or something, you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I could see how that works. And then you actually start to develop authority around it only because you took the time to write it down and think through it a little bit. It's fun. I really do love it.
That's neat. I always come back to this memory my mom gave me where she was in a writing class. It was really neat kind of writing course that she was taking. And there was a woman in the course who had become an expert children's author, had become kind of the leading authority on being a children's author. And when she shared her story and path to doing that, it started with, she just started writing children's books, right? Like nobody named her as this expert. Nobody dubbed her with that expertise. She just said, I want to do this. I'm going to go out. I'm going to do it. And by doing it, I will become that expert. I will become notorious for that skill set. I think it's really neat that you're pursuing that. It's really neat that you're helping other people pursue that. And I think it's just a good lesson for everyone of what do you want to be good at? What do you want to be known for? And how can you share those skills with the people around you?
Yeah. And it's very, I like thinking that it's not the smartest person necessarily who's going to be successful. It's the hardest working one. You know, it's the person who just keeps at it and keeps working at it and pursues, you know, excellence, maybe at the expense of success. But when you become really good at something, then the success is going to come naturally. I was always a great student, but I felt a little bit strange because it was only because I worked so hard at it, you know? So it's like, people are like, oh, you're so smart. I'm like, well, not really. If you just, you know, I mean, I'm okay. I mean, I'm not dumb or stupid or anything, but like, I really work hard, you know? And that's what happened. You know, my sister as well, she could sell anyone to anybody, you know, but it's because she works so hard at it. And that's why she's so awesome at it. I don't know where I was going with that one, but that was something that just came to mind.
Yeah, well, I think there's an audience for everyone, right? There's a message that each person has that can be shared that will resonate with different people.
Yeah.
Right? And it'll resonate with different people at different times based on what someone else would benefit from. So I think that's, you know, something for people to remember is, success looks very different for everyone. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to look the same across the board. Different people are going to have different goals. They're going to have different outcomes that they're looking to achieve and that's going to feel good to them. And to try and all be on the same pre-prescribed track of life is one size fits all. And we know that that's never the case. So I think that's a neat message to be able for anyone listening to today's episode and to kind of keep in mind is if you're in the consulting industry and you're feeling potentially burned out, that doesn't mean that consulting isn't the right fit for you. It just might mean that it's time to take a step back and take a look at how you're able to be in the consulting industry, what services you're rendering, what support you're working through, and what types of clients you're working with.
Yeah, because at least you're in an industry that's like fundamentally aligned to give you a good life, right? So then it's a matter of like, how do you work it within that to make it work for you?
Right.
Yeah, and for the hard work, like someone explained it once to me that, you know, just like money compounds, hard work compounds too, you know? And so, I can remember earlier in my career as a consultant, you're like, you just have to, what do they teach you? Just stay one day ahead of your client, right? You know, just stay one day ahead and you'll look like the expert. I always felt such like a faker. But eventually, like I've noticed, you know, in the last 7 years, like I really know how to do my job. Like I can do it pretty well. And it's only because of all that work that's finally compounded up into the fact that, you know, I feel like I'm pretty good at my job now. And then you can start to think about, you know, how to do even more things. And, you know, even things that you did way earlier in your life can come back to help you. Like this, the speaking example that I gave before, like, I can't wait to do more speaking, but I feel really excited about it because I know I had some previous success like 25 years ago. Yep. So it's just, yeah.
Things come around.
Yeah. And you just got to enjoy the life. Like that's been hard for me too with goals. Like you set a goal and then you achieve it. And then you're like, I got to set another goal. And so you like suddenly like this thing that was supposed to be so exciting isn't all that great anymore because you've moved on to the next one. So my new frame of mind is like, just enjoy the journey to get there. You know, like it'll be so cool to put that book out in 18 months, but I better enjoy my journey to get there because once I do it, then what? You know, like, right. I don't, you know,
you need it to be fun while you're working on it, not just incremental milestone that you're celebrating, but at the same time, also celebrate those milestones, because if you don't, then that's kind of that's a nice impetus for the next goal that you will set, but you'll be so much more excited for it because you've enjoyed what was leading up to it. I think it's, you know, consulting and consultants oftentimes get a bad reputation in the just overall space of, you know, the work that we do and pursue and how it can be utilized within corporate settings. But what I've always seen within consulting is the fundamental desire to be helping others, to be making a difference in how businesses are run and rendered, how clients operate and work, and to be effective. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't some pervasiveness of some toxicity that comes to the surface that's going to be in any industry. But ultimately, I've always seen it and been able to pursue it because I have a deep-seated belief of making a difference and helping others. And it really sounds like with what you're pursuing, that's what's fueling what you've elected to do.
Yeah. And I, you know, for those in consulting listening, like it depends on where you work. I mean, it's different to work at Accenture than, you know, Point B of old, or for a small 3-person firm, you know, like it comes down to the culture of the place and what they value. And I mean, I've seen it all. The beauty of having your own practice is you can instill the culture that you want to instill, right? And so if I, you know, I believe that I put our clients first 100%, and I know it because it's my company, so I can do that, you know, and also it's small. Like things just have to be different when places become huge. And I think that transition to huge, you know, there's some, you know, sure they'll make more money and in a, you know, the capitalist society, that's what everyone's goal is, but you don't have to be part of that if you don't want to. You can chart your own future. And I'm so glad that in a way, like, you know, I was demoted, you know, 8 years ago, which kind of prompted me to take matters into my own hands and step off and take a risk. And it's been so worth it.
That's awesome. I love hearing stories like that. Brian, are you reading anything fun right now?
Oh, I'm always reading.
In addition to writing your own book, anything you're consuming that's fun?
I'm reading a whole bunch of stuff, but like the money book that I always recommend to people, because I think it does it's written very well, and it kind of opens your mind up to different ways of thinking of things, is The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel. Very, very good book. It's a definite bestseller. But I noticed it's a strange experience where all the study that I've done for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, I read that book at the end And it's like this capstone of everything that I've learned all the way up to that point. So I'm like, I wish I would have read it 7 years ago. I don't think it was out 7 years ago, but actually then I've come back to the other side. And I'm like, oh, no, I actually like that I took the hard way and then had it all presented in a bow at the end because it meant so much more to me. But that doesn't mean that if you haven't done 7 years of study of personal finances, investments, that you shouldn't read it, because it's written for anyone to read. And I highly recommend it.
Oh, neat. Okay. And in terms of just well-being while consulting, I mean, you're structuring your life such that you are taking the summers off. Is there anything else that you recommend for anyone listening that helps provide balance and well-being?
Such a good question. I actually don't think work-life balance on like a day and a week basis is really real, like, because it's just so hard to escape the fact that, you know, work, remote work and always on because we have, you know, mobile phones and things like that. But when I look, what I do is I always look at the month and year level. So yeah, it's just completely in line with my business. Find time to get away. And I believe that it's all about getting control of your time, not on a day and week basis, but on a month and year basis. And if you take control of your time, you can still make a lot of money. And then you'll start to appreciate your time more. And then what you're going to want to do is have more of it. So then you're going to want to get in, you know, start exercising, running, keep exercising, you know, and then it's like a good cycle of positive decisions that lead going forward. So take some long trips, do some slow travel. If you can ever figure out a way to go for 4 weeks to a European country and just slowly work your way through it, it's a totally different experience and a wonderful one, because it's almost like you're living there and you see things that you wouldn't have seen. You start to make connections and not just there, but like with business and consulting and other things in the background as well. It's you got to come out of things to see it.
Oh, certainly. What's the book? The Things You See When You Slow Down.
I don't know that one. I should look.
Oh, that's a fun read. Yeah. It's all about the fact that when we're in that hustle bustle culture of go, 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 we miss so much. And that's okay, because we're really focused on what it is that we're trying to do or accomplish, but we need to have an opportunity to pull ourselves out of that as well, so that we can A, reset our nervous systems, and B, actually enjoy the beauty of the world around us. Now, I think that's, I love that advice, and I certainly respect your perspective on not balancing to the day or the week, but rather to the year, the month and the year. I always say, I don't take time off. I don't take days off. I take hours off, and I take hours off every day in some way, shape or form that I need in order to reset or do something that is motivating and uplifting. And some days are more, some days are less, some days are very nominal, but by doing that and making sure that there's a little bit of reprieve, that's how I'm able to keep going. Whereas I actually don't do well when I have too much time in a row, unstructured and off, because it feels so unwieldy. It feels so unusual. It feels so unproductive. And for me, I start to really get anxious of, hey, why? I'm meant to be doing more. I'm meant to be creating, turning out, whatever. And so I like that more, just, okay, take the time off right when you need it, when you can, and then amortize it over time.
Yep. I love that.
It's interesting what each person needs from a balance perspective in order to stay in tune and kind of keep moving forward. So, well, Brian, I know we're kind of about at time. Anything else you want to share with anyone listening today?
No, I don't think so. If people want to, learn more about me, my website is choosyconsultant.com. And there's two things that are usually interesting to people. One is a quiz that I put on there, which centers around the four things to see if I could actually help or if you're positioned well to accelerate your time freedom and financial freedom and lifestyle freedom. It's a little 3-4 minute quiz. That's interesting. And then I also am starting, even just next week, to do some on Tuesdays, some free coaching through a public Zoom call. So I have information about that out there. You know, don't have to register or anything. Just show up and ask some questions. If this lifestyle is appealing to you.
Awesome. Well, we'll put all of that in the show notes as well for anyone listening. They can have access to it. But Brian, thank you so much for joining today and sharing your experience, what you've been through and what you're doing and creating. Certainly wonderful to get to make that available to others in the space.
Thank you so much, Kelsey.
And that's a wrap on this episode of the Consultants Council. Thank you so much for your interest and engagement. Let us know what you'd like to learn more about by writing into info@theconsultantscouncil.com. Thanks to Kelsey Consulting for sponsoring this podcast. And with that, cheers and all my best. Have a great week. And remember, what's possible? Do more.